And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
And from the home studios, like a lot of people in radio are doing these days, and back in studio, Tyler Scott, and it's going to be great to be reunited with Tyler tonight on this broadcast, as he's done a lot of these Soccer Matters programs over the years. Welcome into the show. Hoping everyone's doing well. Hope you're coping and hope you're getting used to what is the new norm. You may be discovering some things during this time that is very positive, and I'm certainly hoping that. I don't think we can start this show without just right off the top just thanking those on the front lines, doctors, nurses, caretakers, teachers, truck drivers, delivery drivers. There's so many people on the front lines right now. They're superstars. They are the new superstar, and hopefully we're not going to forget that once we get through these things. Our lives clearly altered in many, many ways right now, and sports does seem a very long way off, unfortunately. Tonight I'm going to provide some updates. We got a couple of great interviews, conversation, both football, and then I would say the conversation is around what are we learning now? How is it being home? For some people, it's home alone. For other people, it's more family time, which can be very, very positive. But reveal your tips tonight to all of us so that we can learn from each other. And there is a lot of positive going on as well. And I certainly want to promote some of the positive things that have been happening in the world. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. All right. During the show, you can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and we'll pick a few of the good tweets to mention. Also, if you're over on Facebook, Soccer Matters, we're up over there. We'll also take some of those good comments as well. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They're the presenting sponsors of the show as usual. And again, during, these times and all the times, it's the Daspit Law Firm and John's firm that are bringing soccer to the airwaves here. The Daspit Law Firm personal injury attorneys that work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. All right. Well, first I'm going to check in with Tyler Scott. Tyler, how are you? And I know a lot of you guys from the production side, a big tip of the hat from me to you, because you guys are really, you're holding it down. You're banging in the hours here. You're keeping everything running and afloat. So from me to you, I say thank you for that first off.
Oh, well, it's a thankless job, Glenn.
Well, I mean, you're doing it. You're getting it done.
I know.
You're getting it done, and we do appreciate that. What have you been doing? How has your life been altered? What's your home life like? Tell me, is it basically sleeping and back to the studio, or give me a little insight?
No, not really. We're on a little rotation here, so we're basically working every other day, and I mean, that's about it. On my off days, I either sit around and watch TV. I try and get out at least to like go run or ride my bike around the Heights Trail, like I had mentioned on the Blitz earlier. But other than that, I don't think my life has really changed other than just not going out as much. Still going to restaurants to pick up food. Obviously, you're not sitting down and eating everything, or taking it to go. But other than that, I mean, it's not, I don't see a huge impact. Well, I mean, there is, but.
Well, we're going to see what happens here in the next couple of weeks. Are you doing any of the Netflix stuff, the Tiger King or English Game, any of that stuff?
What are you watching? Watched Tiger King already, finished that, started Ozark. I feel like those two probably would have watched anyway, but now I just have more time to binge them.
I'm gonna watch some Tiger King after this show tonight. I usually watch it at night. I've never been a big person for watching long periods of TV. I'm doing that a little in the evening. I watched the English game. I thought that was incredible. Tremendous acting. And it's more than a soccer movie. We're going to discuss that a little tonight. From a soccer perspective, there's a great documentary about Bobby Robson called More Than a Manager. And then, of course, Tiger King is just an illustration, Tyler, of America's greatest. If you know what I mean. That is a bizarre show. So what are you watching out there? 713-780-3776. Again, we're streaming at ESPN975.com. What are you doing at home right now? We'll take your phone calls. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Because we're all used to our routines. And we've now had to change our routines. We've had to redefine them. In some cases, families, you know, it's more family time. You're around your families a lot more. How does that go? Not like that video we saw, that day one, two, three, four, that couple. That was pretty funny. I don't know if you saw that one, Tyler, but that is the best video that's been put out. The happy, loving couple with their dog saying, "Hey, y'all, what's up? It's all happening. We're doing great. Take care of each other." And then, you know, by the fourth little clip there, you know, the wife has collared the husband and thrown him out of a chair. It's pretty funny.
I can imagine that's happening in several.
Well, you know, listen, I think, with all seriousness here, these are some of the challenges now and that we have to live up to. And and I can't speak for anybody. I'm not trying to do that by any means, but look, you know, I'm concerned about people that are depression, you know, fear, anxiety. These are things that are tough to cope with mentally. And some people mentally cope with them better than others. So the mental game now is going to be very important to many. And people are getting lonely. They're scared. They're anxious. I think we all have a little anxiousness at some point because we want this to be over. And the thing is, this is a patient game now, which then leads you back to routine and daily things during the day and looking for little positives. You know, you're going to feel good tonight coming out of studio, doing a great job producing. You know, I'm not calling soccer games right now. It's all shut down. That's a big part of my life, the call of the game and being behind the microphone. So what am I doing outside of radio and thinking about the future, concern for parents, couple of friends in the hospital that are in very, very critical condition with the coronavirus. Had a nephew that got through it. You know, these are things that make you anxious, but you have to stay positive. I've taken a cue from you. I think getting out in some sun, whether it's in your backyard, working out is important. I mean, you know, I set a goal to do 150 push-ups and 200 sit-ups every day, as well as a minimum of 30 cardio. And hopefully a little bit more around 45 to an hour. So that occupies my time. That makes me feel better. When you get out and you take the run, that makes you feel better, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I try to do some of that in the morning, and it's off to a good start, you know. I'm not walking the dog as much now and hanging out in the streets. I just think it's kind of time to pull back a little bit from that. 713-780-3776. Now, I also know a lot of young players around the city because you see the postings from all the youth soccer clubs, whether it's Rise, Albion Hurricanes, Cyfair Dynamos, the Dynamo Academy players doing the soccer starts at home. It's great to see young players creating their own training environments at home. It's something that's been echoed forever by youth coaches, especially back in the day when there were two training sessions a week and that was it. Because you're trying to create this wonderful unison between a little kid and the ball and the fascination of a ball. So it's great to see a lot of that going on. If there's anybody who wants to comment on that or wants to comment on kind of the environments they're setting up in their backyards or what some of their kids are doing, I know of a bunch of them and I've seen a lot of pictures of kids doing stuff. It is great. Okay, so let me give you a little bit of a lineup on the show tonight, because that's important. We are going to have on Darwin Quintero. They call him the scientist of goals. He was the big offseason signing for the Houston Dynamo. He's going to join me tonight. He's going to talk his career. He's going to talk Santos, Club America, his influences in his playing career, and the challenges and the pressure he now feels coming to Major League Soccer in Houston after being in Minnesota. So Darwin Quintero, El Scientifico del Gol. Del Gol or Del Gol? I don't know. The scientist of goals. He'll be on the show. Looking forward to that. Very exciting and attractively talented player. Dwight Burgess. Now, last week we had Dave Johnson on, so we've been going back into some of the icons of the commentary in MLS, and that's guys that have been, you know, there from the beginning. Dwight Burgess just retired this year. He's also a college coach, but for 24 years he was a commentator with the Columbus Crew, mostly as a play-by-play guy. In the last couple of years, he's turned into more of an analyst. We'll talk to Dwight about Columbus, the good times in Columbus, all the things through his lens that he has seen, much like Dave Johnson in D.C. And much like Dave Johnson in D.C., there were highs and lows. And I'm sure one of the lows was the team getting moved to Austin, Texas. But you think of some of the players that came through the Columbus Crew, the Jeff Cunninghams, the Guillermo Barros-Schelotto. You had Alejandro Moreno, who also played here in Houston that first year. Frankie Hadick. Just a lot of wonderful players you could talk about that wore Columbus Crew colors as well. The Cube and the Dynamo are airing a lot of the past Dynamo games. They've the opening game where Brian Ching scored four goals. Boy, I'll never forget that night. Going to that stadium, just taking a huge sigh of relief and just, wow, you know, professional soccer is back. And then I walk in the stadium and I go, God, they got to have a good game. There's got to be goals scored. This can't be a paint-drying nil-nil loss. And we were fortunate that night. The Houston Dynamo banged in five goals against the Colorado Rapids. But, you know, sometimes those big moments like that, if you don't live up to them, you don't grab that momentum and that opportunity that you had. And the Dynamo certainly, that 6-7 version in those early years, those teams grabbed opportunity, no question about it. 713-780-3776. Anything on your mind, no matter what it is, it's open line here tonight, open subject. DeMarcus Beasley brought out his top 11 national team players and his best national team player of all time. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Shea Groom. We're going to talk some NWSL with Shea Groom. Now, she's Texas A&M Soccer, which was started by G. Guerreri many, many years ago. In fact, I think today is, I thought I saw something on Twitter, today was the day that Texas A&M program started under G. Guerreri. Shea Groom is going to join the show tonight. She is now on the Houston Dash, recruited by James Clarkson and company and Eddie Robinson. She is a very technically gifted soccer player. She's fun to watch. She's one of those players you got to get the ball in the hole to, in behind a midfield. But she's a great example, I think, to young players in that technique, speed of thought. Those kind of things can overcome some of the other areas when it comes to the physical nature of the game. And the NWSL is a physical game. Let's not make any mistake about it. It is a physical game. So Shea will be on the show as well. Looking forward to that. That should be a very good interview. So back to the positive. So we're seeing donations, from top footballers. But it may be as simple as just helping your neighbor out. And it may be as simple, and it is as simple, as this. And that is, you show respect to others simply by social distancing. I am stunned when I see these reports or drive by a basketball court with a bunch of guys playing basketball. You are selfish, whoever you are. I'm sorry. It's one thing to do it for, make your own decisions about what you do, not when it affects others. That does definitely make me angry. It's kind of sad because we're all trying to knock this thing off together. And the only way to do that is show some self-discipline. Helping an elderly neighbor could be nice. There was stories about kids on the East Coast going shopping for the elderly. Having elderly parents, that one resonated deeply with me. You can pick up a phone and call some of your friends or people from your past. But let's keep the positive going. I like the one Norwich City goalkeeper, the Canaries, Tim Krul. Dutchman took a 94-year-old neighbor shopping. How cool is that? I think Tim is Tim's one of our heroes, as well as all those people on the front lines, nurses, doctors, everybody who's putting it out there for us. Let's not forget that. 713-780-3776. We're going to take a break here. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, are the presenting sponsors of this show. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. Bilingual. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction. John and his firm, they're going to have you covered 24-7 nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. If you are a restaurant owner like Dimitri at Nico Nico's, like my good friend Sebastian at Patagonia, call in the show. Just let us know that you're serving food. I'm going to leave it open to you. 713-780-3776.
Research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Some of the greatest commercial re-intro music ever. Dire Straits, Mark Knopfler on guitar. I saw them at the legendary Southern Star Amphitheater. I saw them also in, it was either the Summit or Toyota Center. The song was originally called MTV. But MTV got Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits to back off it, and they turned it into Money for Nothing. As he lived in New York and apparently went into a place to buy a refrigerator or something, and he heard these guys standing around talking while they were watching a TV about a rock star, and that's how the song got written. Dire Straits, one of the great bands of all time. Knopfler went off rock and roll, though, kind of went back to his roots, which he can do. All right, welcome back to the show, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Let's go to the phone lines. Adam wanted to say something. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Very good, Adam. What's on your mind?
I was thinking, since everybody has time, you know, to keep with themselves, that people have the opportunity to create their own games and create our own sport. Like, for instance, me and my brother, we have a sport that we've been playing for a couple years already, but it deals with a football where we separate from each other about 30, 35 yards away. And then just me and him, mano a mano. And then we have to stay eye to eye. The name of the game is called French ball. So one person throws the ball at the opponent and tries to hit him dead on. You know, the head is 3 points, the chest 2 points, and the arms 1 point. And the first one to get to 10 points wins. But if you flinch, you deduct a point, and you also get to throw the ball again. Yeah. But man,
all right, so wait a minute. So he's firing a ball at you from 30 yards away. You can't catch it. You stand there.
You just stand there. You have to just man up and take it. You can cover your private area and stuff, but
that's about it.
You can't flinch. You can,
okay. Yeah. Okay. I get it. Okay. Who gets the best of that? You or your brother?
Most of the time, he gets the best of it, man. And I got a little weight on me, so he gets me, and it's a little soft spot. He's singing sometimes, and it'll linger.
Do any family members ever come out and watch this colossal, gigantic game?
Oh yeah, they laugh. They just laugh, and they just call it stupid, But they continue watching, But no one else wants to play. I don't know why.
Okay, and what did you call the game again?
Flinch ball.
All right, I appreciate that, Adam. Thank you very much for that phone call. So Adam said you create a game. He created flinch ball. Now, you can do that with soccer in your backyard. You can do some different things with soccer. There's walls. There's different surfaces. I know kids who have great little soccer fields in their backyards. I know a number of them. 713-780-3776 is the number. Any other callers? Tyler? All right. So let's bring in Victor Ariza of Soccer Matters. Victor, how are you?
Hey, Len. Doing good.
How you doing? Tell me what your routine's been, because, you and me usually see a little bit more of each other. We haven't seen a lot of each other with all the social distancing now and working on the show or being in studio. What's your discipline like every day outside of some of the stuff you do for the show?
Just chilling at home. like to relax. I've run a few errands here and there. Just trying to, take some money out of my savings account, prepare economically for the next couple months or something. But other than that, it's just been relaxed, Netflix and that kind of stuff.
Are you getting a little bit more comfortable with it? Because look, like all of us, there's anxiousness, there's anxiety, there's fear, there's a lot of things going on there that we have to manage.
The first couple of days, I think I was, you're always wondering, what... there's so little we know about this thing, right? What the symptoms are, you get a little shortness of breath or something, and, from being anxious, and now you think, oh, man, I have it or something. And,
right.
You start panicking a little bit. But I think, past the first couple of days, it's just been staying home. And I think the more I stay home, the more relaxed I am, just because, the possibilities are probably lower of you catching this thing.
Right, and you're washing your hands, all the good personal hygiene. Again, 713-780-3776. You and I were talking earlier today about the fact that Nicaragua and their first division was still playing. And that was a little bit mind-blowing to me. Now, apparently the article that I saw said there's only two cases of the coronavirus there. Now, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean there can't be more. That you had some other comments about the fact that they weren't affiliated with FIFA or something, and then some of the club owners said to the players that I'm giving you the choice to play or not.
Yeah, well, our good friend John Arnold had that story on his website, and it's curious because it's like anywhere else, the Nigerian Federation essentially suspended games. But yeah, like you just said, the league is autonomous from the federation, which is something we usually don't see right in the sport. And it's not just Nicaraguan football. I think baseball is also going on, which last I had read on, I think it was in Jones' article, if not, it was somewhere else. They actually had crowds at their games, but I guess they went away from that because the other day I was watching SportsCenter and they were showing highlights of this baseball league. And good thing at least now it's on closed fields, right? They're still doing sports in Nicaragua, and I know the Blitz mentioned Belarus was still doing soccer.
Yeah, Belarus, that's
right.
They
were taking betting on that, so
it's
different
kind of stunning,
things.
Yeah, it's kind of stunning. You would just think strictly because of the rest of the world, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, they just decide to play because of the fact that I guess they can. You know, here's John's article. I just pulled it up. He said, I was befuddled when I saw results from Nicaragua coming across my Twitter. Nicaraguan FA announcement said it was suspending competitions. And then all of a sudden, the Nicaraguan FA doesn't run the top men's league in the Central American nation. So he made a call down there to one of his contacts, a guy named Camilo Velasquez. And it said, okay, so here's where it all comes in. So it says most teams in Nicaragua have strong government connections. So here, this is the reason why they're playing. Velasquez says 9 of the 10 teams draw significant funding from players in the orbit of current president Daniel Ortega. So if Daniel says you're going to play, you're going to play. And we all know the political turmoil that that country has had. So there you have it. I mean, that's what it's about. The government wants the games to go on.
Yeah, and I mean, John goes into a bunch of other good stuff, too. He also has a good story on the Trinidad and Tobago case going on. His website, if I can share it, it's getconcacaf.substack.com. It's more of a newsletter type of deal, but, I mean, it's I don't know, it's astonishing to see that. From some of the other notes, I mean, UEFA...
Well, take me back to the Trinidad and Tobago thing. What's... I mean, we've always known with Jack Warner there's been all kinds of corruption down there. So what is the Trinidad and Tobago story?
It goes into... Let me see if I can pull up some of it here. Basically, it goes into how they don't have any funding because, you know, past...
Unbelievable. Yeah, Jack Warner.
Yeah, so the way they're all set up now, I think CONCACAF has to take over the Trinidad Federation, at least for a while now, until they can get this thing sorted out and pull them out of debt and all that kind of stuff. But that he goes way more in depth, obviously, than I can say in a couple words. But I was going to mention to you before we get off the line, UEFA is holding a video conference tomorrow, by the way. They're trying to figure out what to do with player contracts because the current ones expire at the end of the current leagues, right, which is around June 30.
Yeah,
this affects about 500 players from the top five leagues. I think Spain will be the one that most affected. They have about 25% of their players, so that's one of the things they gotta figure out. The other thing they're trying to figure out is you know, payments that come in from sponsorships and transfer fees as well, because as you know, some of these transfer fees get paid in installment payments. So with everything going on, how is that going to correlate with the European leagues going on? And then, you know, like I mentioned, Nicaragua is still playing.
All right, hold that thought because we're going to go to a hard break. We're going to be able to talk about this in a little bit later segment of the show because we have Darwin Quintero coming up next. This is good stuff, but we are going to talk a little bit about a number of different things. By the way, if you remember, the Trinidad and Tobago women's team landed in Houston to play in a CONCACAF tournament, and they were begging people for money because their own federation couldn't do anything, okay? And that's when Randy Waldron, the former Houston Dash coach, was in charge. It's just remarkable how even after guys like Jack Warner, the process just repeats in a lot of these small island countries. The debauchery, the absolute obscenity of stealing just continues. And it really is truly a shame because it repeats itself all the time. All right, we'll take a break. Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsor of this show. Coming up next, Houston Dynamo, the attacking man. He's called El Cientifico de Gol. He is Darwin Quintero, formerly of Santos and formerly of Club America in Mexico. He'll join the show next.
ESPN 97.5. listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're not going to waste any time. We're going to get right to it. Darwin Quintero joins us now of the Houston Dynamo, and he's also accompanied by part of the Dynamo staff. Great help to this show as well, Edgar Valise, who will do the interpretation. So first off, just a big thank you to Darwin for coming on the show.
Darwin, gracias por estar con nosotros esta noche en el programa. ¿Cómo estás?
All right, so the first question I want to ask Darwin is basically the excitement about coming to Houston now, getting a change from Minnesota United in Major League Soccer.
Darwin, ¿cómo ha sido la transición para Houston? Ya se tiene tiempo en la liga con Minnesota. ¿Cómo se ha aclamado Houston? Aunque poco tiempo, ¿verdad? Pero por lo menos ya unos meses acá en la ciudad.
Darwin?
Yeah, we're not here in Darwin.
¿Sí?
Ah, there we go.
muy contento de estar acá. La gente de Houston me ha tratado muy bien, me ha acogido como uno más y la verdad que me he sentido muy bien aprendiendo de todo lo que me enseña el profe Ramos, y esperemos pronto destacar dentro del terreno de juego.
The transition has been good. Houston's welcoming with open arms, it's moved their own, and over the last few months it's just been soaking in whatever I can from head coach Chad Ramos, who has been a big part in my transition here, getting me here and also just kind of acclimating to the city. We're both in a similar spot where he's in transition with the team and so am I.
Next question, Edgar, for Darwin is who gave him the name El Científico del Gol?
Darwin, ¿por qué me dio el apodo de El Científico del Gol?
Bueno, por mi nombre, que es Carlos Darwin, como el científico Charles Darwin, y por algunos goles bonitos que ha anotado, entonces dicen que parece a la ciencia.
It works out that my name is very similar to the scientist who discovered those islands, and then just generally some of the play that I've developed over the last few years that's followed me in my career, rather. Some of the goals that I've scored, they've been deemed as beautiful, and then just good coincidence that those two have married, and it kind of led to this nickname.
Darwin Quintero joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Who was his big influence growing up in such a great soccer country like Colombia?
Darwin, pues, ¿quién ha sido la gente que se destacan para usted cuando usted era joven y estaba aprendiendo a jugar, estaba desarrollando usted mismo en su tierra de Colombia?
Pues los jugadores que alcancé a tener como referente. Y me tocó por ahí compartir con uno de ellos, fue Víctor Bonilla, un delantero que jugó en Deportes Tolima, que jugaba muy bien al fútbol, también el Pío Valderrama, el Tino Asprilla. En mi época, cuando estaba en el barrio de Colombia, me decían Asprillita, entonces creo que fueron los que más me marcaron en ese sentido.
Well, I was able to play with some of these folks that I've looked up to, whether it be Edmundo Bonilla or also one of the figures that just stands out, given what he did for the game in the country and abroad, would be Ivan Valderrama. Now, when I was a young kid, some of those things were things I just had to pick up and adjust and wanted to implement into my game, was just how they saw their vision and overall what they brought to the table.
Talking to Darwin Quintero of the Houston Dynamo. Darwin, how did you pick up the great skill of dribbling, and who encouraged you to be a dribbler and take people on?
Pues Darwin, ¿cómo fue que usted desarrolló ese gambete o esa manera de ir contra un defensor, uno contra uno?
Ah, yo creo que esos son dones de mi Dios, que uno nace con ellos y después, pues, diferentes técnicos te dan las opciones, te dan las enseñanzas para que las puedas explotar mejor.
I would say that it's a God-given talent. Outside of that, it's definitely something you also have to work on. It's something that you could always improve on. And I've been very fortunate that I've had coaches in my career who have put me through drills, who have taught me drills to be explosive, to be able to play with the ball at a high pace. And it's just a combination of those two factors, God-given talent, and then just wanting to be the best in my craft.
Darwin Quintero joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. He had an interesting time period in Russia, Darwin, where you played for a team called Sovetov in St. Petersburg in the Russian Professional Soccer League, you know, the Russian Premier League. What was that experience like, and what did it do to him as a player?
It was a situation in Russia. Almost experiencing,
La verdad fue una experiencia enriquecedora, me enseñó a valorar lo bonito de este deporte, que es poder jugar, poder tener actividad. Cuando fui a Rusia tenía 18 años, estaba muy joven, por ahí me dejé llevar más por crecer económicamente, porque por crecer futbolísticamente. Pero al final eso fue lo que me enseñó, ¿no? Que cuando amas esta profesión, quieres estar en un buen nivel, quieres jugar siempre. Me tocó llorar muchas veces por la soledad, por no saber el idioma. Pero bueno, gracias a Dios, fue una experiencia que me levantó, que me enseñó muchas cosas. Y hoy por hoy, pues, estoy muy agradecido por haber estado allá.
I left at a very young age, only 18 years old when I was in Russia, and it was quite the culture shock. And the biggest thing I take away from that experience is just falling in love with why I play the game, and that's to be out there, to be on the field. That was one of the biggest challenges that I had over there, limited playing time. And as a young player, it's tough to navigate that. It's something that I take with me and that I, to this day, prioritize and make a decision as to where my career will go. I want to play at the top level. I want to be in the best shape. And the best way to do that is by being active, by playing. So that's one of the things that has carried with me my career, just my time there. And outside of that, it was definitely challenging personally. I didn't know the language. I didn't know many people out there. So adjusting to that was difficult, but it definitely helped me grow not only as a player, but as a person and who I am today.
Talking to Darwin Quintero, Houston Dynamo, big signing in the offseason coming from Minnesota United. Was Santos Laguna, Darwin, that time, was that the most magical of your career with well over 200 appearances and well over 60 goals?
Fue un periodo, pues, me imagino que destaca mucho, ¿no? Por tantos partidos que jugó, pues, a tanta alegría que le llegó a esa afición.
Bueno, la verdad que fue un equipo que me ayudó a crecer mucho, tanto en lo profesional como en lo personal. Ahí nacieron mis hijos, me dieron la mayor parte de lo que he conseguido. Y la afición es tremendamente exigente. La verdad, les tengo mucho cariño, mucho respeto por todo lo que viví ahí y siempre... seré un seguidor de Santos Laguna.
And that's definitely somewhere where I was able to grow, not just on the field, but off the field. That's where I made my name. That's where I made the player that everyone got to know and who's here today. Personally, my children were born there, so I spent a lot of great years down there, and it's one of those institutions that I'll always follow. The fans will always treat me well. It's definitely one of those relationships that stays with you, and I'll definitely always keep an eye on them and hope that everyone does well down there.
Most memorable moment at Santos Laguna for Darwin.
So, Darwin, ¿cuál fue su memoria más destacada? ¿Qué partido, qué gol? Pues, después de la mano de su tiempo allá.
Bueno, por ahí hay varios momentos, como los pase goles en las semifinales contra Tigres, donde pasamos a la final contra Monterrey. los goles contra IMPA de Montreal para calificar en esa Conca Champions. Cuando quedamos campeones. Entonces creo que son muchos momentos muy buenos más que los no tan buenos.
Whether it was the assist to help us beat us in the final against Monterrey or in the Concacaf Champions League against Montreal, that was a great experience. And then, of course, winning a title. Those are memories that you always carry with you.
So, Darwin, you moved then to Club America. How emotional was that for you personally? How emotional was that for the fans of Santos Laguna?
Pues, Darwin, usted es su etapa con Santos, llega al Club América. ¿Cómo fue esa transición en el aspecto deportivo y personal?
Bueno, en lo deportivo sabemos que el Club América representa mucha historia a nivel de México y a nivel Latinoamérica, donde todo se... Por ahí se le da mayor valor, se agranda tanto lo bueno como lo malo. Y bueno, como todo, ¿no? Tuve momentos buenos, momentos no tan buenos, pero siempre se disfrutó de mi estadía en el América, un gran club que tengo mucho respeto por todo lo que viví ahí.
Definitely was a change. It's one of the biggest clubs in Latin America. We all know what kind of reference they are and what they mean to both Mexican soccer and international soccer. So everything just is magnetized. You go over there and you're welcomed very well and received with open arms. And everything that I experienced was a share of bounce, right? Where I had my fair share of high moments and then challenging moments, and everything's just at a different level over there. Everything is absorbed and broken down with the microscope, and you definitely notice that. You notice the difference once you're in an institution like that, one of the biggest teams in Mexico, one that just has that star power with it where they go. So I definitely get that time over there. It's something that you just can't forget.
November 11th of last year, Darwin, you got on social media. You announced that Minnesota was declining the contract. Was it disappointing to you not to remain in Minnesota initially?
Pues el año pasado anunció que iba a salir de Minnesota. ¿Se quiso quedar ahí o cómo fue que manejó esa situación? ¿Quería quedarse en el equipo donde que inició su carrera en MLS?
Mira, la situación fue que a mí me habían dicho que iba a continuar en Minnesota, que mi contrato lo iban a hacer válido, que iban a tomar la opción. Al final el entrenador, después de que el gerente deportivo me había dado la palabra, después el entrenador me dice que no iba a tomar la opción. Y para mí fue una sorpresa, pero pues al final lo acepté, ¿no? Ellos tenían la decisión. No me gustó que me hubieran dicho que sí y después que no, pero gracias a Dios había hecho las cosas bien y tenía las puertas abiertas aquí en la MLS, las puertas abiertas en México. Entonces todo pasa por algo y gracias a Dios se dio un buen cambio para mí.
It was definitely an interesting situation because I left and had a meeting with the sporting director, and I was told that Minnesota was going to pick up my option and I would be coming back. That changed once that decision went to the head coach. The head coach told me that I would not be coming back and that the team would not pick up my option. So it definitely cut me off guard, and it was something where I kind of wish I wasn't told one thing and then something else happened, but it worked out in the sense that I had the doors open to me both here in MLS and in Mexico. There were just offers, enough offers to take where I wanted to be. So very fortunate that it worked out for me because I'm definitely a good player now.
Darwin, have you encountered many Club America fans in Houston and fans of Santos since you've lived here a little bit now?
Sí, la verdad que los aficionados de América están en todas partes de Estados Unidos, más que por ahí los de Santos. Sí, me he encontrado algunos también, y como lo reitero, me respetan mucho, me dan su apoyo, me dicen que hice las cosas bien, y eso es con lo que me quedo, ¿no? Con el trato de la gente que me encuentro en la calle, que siempre me está demostrando ese cariño.
I'm definitely a Rangers fan from South America. Like I mentioned before, I like to such a sizable presence. He's there all over the U.S., so it doesn't take much to run into a fan of South America. And Santos has a good presence as well. I've run into such from fans of that team as well, and that's what I take away from the experiences at both teams. Just the way that both teams and their fans have kind of welcomed me and treated me, and always found what I brought to the table.
A big thank you to Darwin. Edgar, a big thank you to you. We very much appreciate Darwin for coming on the show. Darwin, muchas gracias. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Darwin. That's great stuff there. Darwin Quintero, and a great assist from Edgar Valise of the Dynamo. Thank you very much, Darwin Quintero. We'll take a break. We got more to come here. Coming up next on the show, we're going to switch gears here. We'll go to the Houston Dash and Shea Groom coming up next. Aggies, are you out there?
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.